gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome to One Up Top Series 2. This is an update episode ahead of the big Dublin Derby this weekend. I'm sitting in our new flat with Mr. O'Reilly. How are you getting on?
Yeah, shared bedroom. It's like Father Ted and Dougal here. Such is the Dublin rental market, James.
He did give me the option. He said you can have the spare room on your own, or you can have the spare room with two Brazilian women.
Well, they were mine, so.
It's better than living with me, man, anyway.
Sharing a room with her and the dog.
Well, at least I don't have to listen to her having sex anymore.
Have you seen it enough times?
Fucking prick.
But suppose here we are anyway. No guests this week, mainly because we're on the piss and Keith Ward wouldn't text us back.
We do have guests lined up for next week, as well.
We're not even actually for about a month now, so we'll keep ourselves busy over the next couple of weeks anyway.
We did say we just kind of do a quick update before the Rovers game this week, and obviously we played pretty much five games in between, and I think we have to do ourselves justice to kind of to give our unwanted opinions on it. We want to thank sponsors as always. That's Grand Cru Beers, Vault Fashions, New Age Barbers. You know yourself, check out their Instagram pages, have a look online and see what deals you can get. I want to thank our last guest, which was Stephen Caffrey, an absolute balls legend, who gave up his time to sit next to us. Possibly the most serious man I've ever sat beside. I was actually shit myself at one stage.
Yeah, Whelan's leg was fucking, he was tipping up and down about the whole thing. Oh, as nervous as I've seen you on the podcast.
I only have a stutter after a few points the odd time, but I think I was very truly fucking rattled there sitting next to Mr. Caffrey himself. We will kick things off as always. I'm looking at the league table here now, just after yesterday's results. I think everyone in the stand was like, you know, it's a weird start of the league. As in, like, we're 3 points off where we probably should and want to be. But at the same time, you know, other teams just aren't really getting going as well. The Sligo and Pats, they, you know, they luckily got results the other night there, the other day, which makes our position look a bit, you know, look very much the same. But, you know, either those slipped up, we were to our place.
Yeah, I know on the basis of things, like, I know everyone's talking about the needing for balls of jail, but that's the same with nearly every other team, bar maybe Rovers. Like, they're your jailing team, you know, there's a lot of new faces after going on there, they're top of the league. I know there's not that far ahead of us either. But like everyone's sort of getting the gel, but I think we should have gelled quicker on the balance of that. Still, a lot of our starting 11 was there last year.
Yeah, we were talking
Talbot, Kelly, left back Wilson, even Davoy, Ali Cootley, and Bort, Promise, Madden, Twardick is an unfamiliar to things either. Like, so well, you know, there's talking about gelling, like, there's not that much in that Bowles team that has come in that's new faces and the starting 11 every week.
As we said around the league, every team got good, you know, bar maybe the likes of Rovers. You know, every team has, you know, 8 or 9 new players at least. You know, it's probably not really acceptable to be using that as an excuse, particularly anymore at this club. I think we should be raring from the get-go. We should be picking up points regardless. And look, we'll touch on it all now. But just other side, I mean, like, Derry, you know, they lost the Shells there, and it was that could be a really, really bad defeat come a couple of weeks' time if Rovers do overtake them, because Rovers have started to get going now. I think they've got 7 wins out of the last 9. And only one's a draw as well. I mean, this is a very decent Rovers team who are really starting to pick up the pace, obviously ahead of the game on Friday. But no surprises down the bottom of the table, Jordan. Do you expect Shelbourne maybe to swap a Finn Harps at some stage this season?
I think it's more than possible. I really do. There's obviously a lot of talk around Duff and Shells. Like, what stuff are going to be in a situation when, you know, you're down there and the going gets tough? And look, I don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Duff isn't a fucking a battle or whatever, but, you know, they're up against Ali Hogg and it's a different animal.
They haven't won at home.
They haven't won at home this season.
At one point they picked up in Tolga Park.
Even yesterday, like, we beat them 4-1. Finn Harps beat them 3-0 in Tolga. Like, maybe they're just one of those teams that maybe they play in the break a bit more when they're away from home. And again, our home record isn't fucking too great either.
Exactly, yeah. No,
I expect Shells to be down though? I think they will, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
I think they probably nearly lack senior figures a bit like us, but unlike us, I think we've got a far better team quality-wise.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. I think you look around the Shells team, I think their senior player is Luke Byrne. I know Brendan Clark as well. I wouldn't want Luke Byrne near any football team, to be honest. I think he's an absolutely terrible footballer.
Price at the hat now too.
He's a poor captain as well, where he looks things. He might have won the first division twice, but I mean, nobody gives a flying fuck about that. We could win the fucking first division between the pair of us, and that's probably saying.
He was involved in getting relegated too, considering he got sent off a couple of times towards the end of the season.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be taking too much notice of that fella as a footballer or a captain. We're going to start with the Derry game, which was the podcast we recorded with Stephen Caffey. You know, we knew we had a tough task that game. We set up differently. We set up with a five at the back. It looked like Twardock was wing back. Wilson was wing back. And it was Wilson's pretty much his last game as captain before a couple of comments in the paper. Went 1-0 up and we looked pretty impressive like to start. I think Liam Burt was back in the team. You know, we actually looked like, you know what, maybe the week's break is after I really done us a world of good.
Yeah, we probably did deserve the win, drop that didn't threaten us the whole game. On Tyreek Wilson, I think he's had a good couple of games last while. I think there was more eyes on him because he was captain, and I think he got a lot of unfair scrutiny. Because he was made captain, everyone's like, oh, well, it's his fault, he's the leader. Like, there's more eyes on him in that situation, I thought. I think maybe Long took it off him, took the pressure off him.
I think that exactly worked as well. And he did say in the paper, you know, it's just a piece of cloth, it doesn't...
Team it is. I know you shouldn't say into the paper, but he's trying to play it down. And as well as that, like, in that team, there's no captain, like...
Mm. That game as well, obviously, we went 1-0 up. Derry got an equaliser. It was a ball to the back stick. It was Wilson, somewhat at fault, went for it with his foot when he should have went for his head. And then the very last seconds is something that's just happened with Derry. I think there's been 12 goals in the last 8 minutes being posed in Derry over the past 3 years. And it was Rory Feely gave away the foul, misses the header, and Derry go and win in the last second. I think most people are already out the door counting their chickens with a draw against Derry City. But the fat lady in the bogside wasn't done singing yet.
Wasn't she singing Republican songs? So I made me way towards the halfway line, and the free was given away. And I said, turn around, I think, to AJ, and said, we fucked it up. This is going in. I said, this is going fucking in. And lo and behold, the ball comes across, back of the net, 2-1.
An
encore of Bills and Max Exodus outside the Daily Empire.
It just feels all too familiar. I've got to wear these new glasses as well, and fucking, it's very hard to see the match sometimes.
You're getting used to them, aren't you?
I'm only getting used to these new glasses, yeah. I actually fucking broke them as well there the other night as well, which is a fucking disaster. So, look, hopefully we don't have to keep wearing them anymore. We went to the Sligo game. We drove out to Sligo, the pair of us. There was a good balls crowd there. The crowd were really good that game. I think it was one thing we all took out of that game, other than the great 3 points, was that the fans seemed to be back. It was a good hardcore away tangent. Jordan Flores captain the team that game, as we said. Wilson had a great game because he took the pressure off him. We did set up five at the back again before Rory Feely got injured, possibly a blessing in disguise that game, and we grounded a 1-0 win. It was a good trip out on a Tuesday night. I mean, I'm fucking delighted we went.
Yeah, it was a grand drive now. As I say, the only problem is now I had the box in the car, so I couldn't get home as quick as the rest of you stunts.
You get flagged for speed.
But no, it was great, and I think I made a comment there on Twitter last week about, Block F&J has been raided by young, very, very young followers who are able to fucking just sit there and get out early and whatever, and new fans, whatever. Look, I said there's no problem with people going to Daily Mail, but the people are down on Block and FG because that's where the atmosphere is meant to be.
Yeah.
But as the issue, I think Rotwell said, he goes, people are down there. They want to be part of an atmosphere without realising you have to create an atmosphere.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there and expect and everything to happen when there's all of you doing that.
Yeah.
I said, all lads we're bleeding all nearly 20 years of age at this stage. We've better things to be doing than standing out in the stand fucking there before a kick off to make sure we get a seat.
I think you're right there as well. I mean, I was speaking to Kevin Brannigan about this, and we both kind of looked at each other and said, how do we fix the atmosphere down in F&G? We both were like, I'm kind of a little bit too old to be stepping in, Maybe some of the more younger hardcore should kind of get involved in it.
There's obviously, someone said Block Gate to be made a standing section. The issue is, you've old Todgers there 100 years telling you this is where they've sat since 1980.
I know.
So you can't move them down either. But
even on some of the new fans as well, I mean, there's a good discussion about, a lot of these new fans, they signed up as members because the club decided to up the membership from what was, in around 1,000.
It was 2 years ago.
It was
under 500.
Yeah, and now they've upped it because everyone needs a ticket. So, I think as well with the club doing this is they went into areas of society that, weren't really interested in football, truth be told. A lot of the people that go to Bowls, they're not really into football these days. Some of them aren't.
They might
wear the Fontaine jersey and the jersey, but I think it's a really aesthetic thing for some people that go to Bowls.
Yeah, look, everyone knows the club, and you can't take it away from you. You can't fucking have your cake and eat it.
Yeah.
You want new fans in, and I know they're probably grown from different departments.
they might not be avid football fans, no, but they kind of follow
this is
fucking 20 years. I mean, no,
I'm only joking, but
unfortunately I'm going fucking 20 years.
You're right there. A lot of it is down to, it's probably down to Instagram and where you are.
Yeah.
I said it a while ago, like Daily Mount is like what Dishergate was in 2016, you know. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh yeah, we're going there to take fucking yokes. Now everyone's like, oh yeah, we're going to believe in Daily Mount. It's the buzz, like, yeah. It's a buzz in sort of thing, in fashion thing at the moment.
The buzz you couldn't find anywhere else, and obviously the more people that came and they all became members, and like we kind of did that one as well. I mean, some people will agree, disagree. It locked a lot of people out, people who were float to maybe 10 games a year. They wouldn't be, you know, massively hardcore, and they're kind of struggling to get tickets now. But
look, as I said, it's only Tuesday, and I've gotten about 10 different people asking for a ticket. Yeah, I haven't even gone over the weekend's hangover yet, for fuck's sake.
As you said, it's amazing how many people you don't reply to when you're out on the piss. But anyways, on this Sligo promise run and the Leinburg goal, it was absolutely fantastic, and we held on unbelievably well. It was a great 3 points in the road. A few days later, we go back up the M1 to fucking Drogheda. This time, Conor Levingston is the captain. And, you know, as a fan here, I'm starting to look, right, Lebo's back in the team. I'm starting to question young Jordan Doherty as a signing now. You know, I thought he was signed as the kind of the number six. He had a good game against Pat.
He played in the championship over in America.
Yeah.
You were expecting this fella to come in.
Senior football as well.
Senior football, like, he's played 2 years of senior football. Well, as senior as you can be, I suppose. I thought he was going to come in. He's played championship in the US. That would actually question how good is the standard over there. You would have expected something below the MLS to be maybe League One standard. Mm. Maybe it is, but he hasn't come in and he hasn't got into broken the squad as of yet. The concern there is that he is also on a multi-year deal.
Yeah.
We don't know. Obviously, multi-year deals are to skate off with our clubs because they haven't a clue how long they're left. I'm sure fucking agents would tell them anyway. Mm. And as well as that, then I know JJ McKiernan has gone back to Watford.
Yeah, I believe he's left the building now. He's left.
He's not happy with games.
I think he's only how long did he get? I think he played about 15 minutes in the ball shirt, which is a bit of a shame for this fellow who was in the Northern Irish in the 21 squad. Apparently, he's well rated, can play anywhere across the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a crying shame because, you know, a lot of players haven't been performing, and, you know, it's disappointing when you see someone not to get a chance when some other players are really, 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 really poor. Just on Drogheda as well, I mean, I thought we were fairly fucking flat. I thought we were, you know, we scored a penalty early on, and we didn't make a whole lot of chances together.
No, we didn't create a lot of chances. It's very similar to the UCD game. I don't think Drogheda were near as dominant. I don't think we needed to up a gear, although we should have been trying to go out and get that second goal. It's a shit pitch, it's a crap stadium, it's very tight, it's probably not what suits us, but at the end of the day, like, it's like watching balls, like watching the same film every fucking week, and you just know how it's going to end.
I think everyone in the stand knows once it gets to 80 minutes, everyone looking around each other, we're going to concede. I don't think anyone knew we were going to hold out in some respect, and it was just typical balls that it was a very late equaliser from Drogheda. I'm sure James Talbot probably kicking himself saying he probably could have done better, and you know we win that game. That's two wins on the spin going into the Harps game, and you know, we're coming down the motorway that night. We're sitting in the car with our good friend Finglas Rowe, and Rowe was trying to tell us that it's a good point away from home, and a tough place to go.
Undefeated 7, he's saying now.
trying to gloss it over, but I mean, look, we can all have a bit of a laugh, but at the same time, we're Bohemians. We should be going to Drogheda and winning every time. Looking at that Drogheda squad, I know they're playing pretty well under Kevin Doherty, but we are considerably better than them. Yeah, we should be beating them three or four times a year at least.
Yeah, definitely.
So we go down to then the Harps game on Good Friday. And Good Friday, you know, typically as a Bowls fan, it's nearly a fixture you look out for, because if you're playing away from home and there was no pubs, you load up a bus nice and early. Even playing at home now when the pubs are open, everyone's out early doors, everyone's out getting tanked up, and everyone wants to go home happy or at least have a good night out. I don't think I've seen anyone so angry in my life than a lot of people that were sitting in Davies fucking the Pisbury house after the game. It was just people shouting, angry, scowling, nearly wanting to punch the hell off each other. And this is what results do to fans, you know, mentally. We are fragile creatures, you know.
Straight away I'm telling you, Keith Long's not getting sacked anytime soon.
Yeah, of course.
Right, like, you know, people can fucking wane and they can this, that and the other. Keith Long is not getting sacked, I don't think, no matter how bad the results get.
Mm.
But I think after Friday, it's like, well, if you're going to do it,
do it now.
Like, the supposedly he was spitting back at fans.
There was a fan, it was my good friend Kevin Brannigan pointing him out in the stand, the way to about the shells there, he was pointing out this big baldy guy. I said, that's your man who had a go at Keith Long. He literally was had his finger in his face and Keith Long was backing him, you know. He was, this fellow was abusing everyone left, right and centre. I'd never seen this kind in my life, to be honest.
No, there was. There's a few people in the back of back A as well who were saying, get the fuck out of our club, Keith, this thing. I'm looking around.
Yeah, I think that's sort of like negative.
He said it himself, it's a vocal minority and a majority silent, but at the same time, they didn't give us much reason to defend them either.
Yeah, it was, like as I said, they were down to 9 men, but it was just kind of typical Harps. That they can dig in, they can somehow get a result. I mean, we haven't had a good fare against them. We drew up 1-1 away. They beat us 2-1 down in Dalyman towards the end of last season in a game that probably gave away Europe in some respects. You know, it was just very hard to take. I mean, as I said, I was watching the game at home wearing my new glasses, and fuck me, I just smashed them as hard as I could off the floor, which is an absolute disgrace. You know, like, it's really annoying.
Yeah, well, we had plenty of chances to win that game too. We hit the post once or twice.
I mean, I think to get 2-1 ahead, I think we did pretty well, because you know we went 1-0 down, and it comes from once again Rory fucking Feely giving away the penalty.
Still though, there's still a lot in that in fucking game management. Every time we got the ball, we wanted to attack in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah,
it was similar to that game when we played Drogheda last year. Remember, considering the goal in the last minute, Promise broke in behind. And
yeah,
he wasn't overly in on goal, but he ran towards goal in the 90th minute, and instead of going to the corner and just sitting the fucking thing. And you know, a lot of that we're not doing. Like, you're helping, you're not, I know people talk about experience. It shouldn't take fucking a 15-year-old knows on FIFA when you get the, when you're 1-0 up a minute,
get into
goal,
the corner,
you get to the fucking corner.
Like, boy fell, boy time, experience. You know, like, it's just, you know, we all say about Jordan Flores, he was captain that night. You know, he's maybe someone who's capable of the dark arts of football. He was actually taken off with 10 minutes to go. We took off our captain, our experienced player, and I thought that was a bizarre move by Long. I was thinking,
I'm not too sure on that front. A lot of times I have seen, and me and Butsy have pointed out, especially in that Sligo game,
he's blown out of his hole.
I don't know if it's blown out of his hole or it's even lack of effort. But like, when you know when other teams are in the break and they're breaking into the box, he's no awareness of who's near him. He's trotting back, and you're going, this is going to cost us a goal. Because people are just sailing by him on the break and he doesn't seem to take notice of it. I'm not sure because he's in that number 10 mentality. I think maybe that's what he has to shake. I'm not too sure. But the lack of awareness around sometimes when there's players around them trying to get fucking back was concerning for me.
Which is, but you probably expect a bit more from someone who's been around the league and the lower leagues in England. Dawson Devoy got a penalty that night. Ali Cook got us ahead. Dawson got 3 penalties now for the season. He's been cool as ice at the spot, so we really have to commend him for that. But obviously, look, as we said, Harps, 9 men. Last kick of the game, and once again, it was Rory Feely who's made a brain fart. Now, look, I think we're very fair on this podcast, and we're very honest about a lot of players. But I think I've run out of time with Rory Feely. I think most fans have run out of time. And James Finley's back from injury in 2 weeks' time. I've been reliably informed. I think Rory Feely probably knows himself. He's probably no confidence. He's probably, you know, probably knows himself that I've got a mistake in me. But he's being played anyway. I mean, I'm not going to speak on your behalf, Jordan, but if I was a member of this club, I would be ripping up that man's contract before he does any more damage. I don't think he's a footballer. I don't think he's a vet. I don't think he's any way shaped to be playing in this team. I don't think he's a good centre-half. I don't think he's even a good right-back. I don't want him anywhere near the defence, at least. I don't want him even on the fucking bench at this stage, because I am sick of seeing his mistakes. So, I'm not going to pull punches here. Fuck off.
Well, that's a fair assessment, no? I can understand that 100%. Longer nearly was nothing short. You're basically nearly coming along. I said a couple of weeks ago, we had a pop of them twice in an interview post game. Like, you know, sometimes you just have to fucking wonder how do professionals make these fucking brain farts.
No, his brother Kevin was a good player in a bad Bowls team.
In a
bad league, like, you know.
It was a very bad league.
So, I mean, if he's
You look at the league now 10 years ago, there's no one even getting paid near what.
Exactly. If you're trying to compare the two of them as well, I know some fans think, oh, look, he'd be as good as his brother. His brother was a good player. His brother gave up playing professional football after hardly doing much at Charlton and Cambridge, you know.
No, but as you said, you had your right back there in Feely, Max Murphy, and your man Pakenham.
Packham, yeah.
Michael Barker and Paddy Kirk are better fullbacks.
I would have the two of them back at the club.
I think Paddy Kirk.
Paddy Kirk is doing excellent at Sligo as well, by all accounts.
Played left wing and he came on,
didn't he? He did, yeah, yeah. He came on. Robbie McCourt was playing left back and he came on ahead of him. And Michael Barker is on the score sheet for Bray Wanderers there, or sorry, for Longford Town even there over the weekend. I mean, Barker's always done a good job.
He's a utility player, but when he stepped in, not saying he never put a foot wrong, but he didn't have a cock up like that fucking Feely has every week.
I know, and it's just too repetitive now at this stage. So, look, I don't want to see the man on the football pitch for quite some time. And look, thankfully, we went to Shells on Bank Holiday Monday there. and Grant Horton was back on the side. And Grant Horton and Kieran Kelly, they've been playing excellent together. I think Horton and Finnerty probably looked a lot better. But as a duo at the back, the two of them were very good yesterday. They came up against an absolute fucking wanker and a tug in Sean Boyd.
He's a fox, isn't
he? He's an absolute prick of a man. And I thought they did a very good job with him, goal aside. I thought fucking Boyd probably could have been sent off at some stage as well. He's a fucking horrible cunt.
Yeah, Boyd is a, don't get me wrong, he's got some stick off us, but
he scores against us as well.
He scores against us as well. The
fucking doesn't like us.
Now, Shell's game was good. I think we all went in a bit nervous, but knowing that Shells are a dogged team who will fight for the short, which both players have been questioned of. That, on that point there, like, I don't think a lot of players aren't playing for the short. You know, a lot of people say, no, they don't give a fuck. I think they do give a fuck. I think there's just that clear lack of experience in the team. I don't think there's any of those players out there who say they don't give a bollocks whether they win, lose, or draw. Like, I think they do play for the short, but I think the confidence is very low in a young squad. On the Shells game then, I found that we were going to have a couple of chances because Shells had to have a go.
Yeah.
You know, they had beaten Derry, their tails are high as such. We beat Drew at 9 minute half. Surely Duff are sitting in this fucking little shed in Talca Park saying to himself, we're going to fucking, we have a good pop.
I think most Shells fans probably thought that they're going to have a good pop at the scene of the form that we're in, and they're off the back of a really good win up in Derry as well. I mean, you know, just on Damien Duff as well, like, you know, some of the stuff he comes out with is just outrageous. I mean, we've had the stuff in them 4-1. Look, we had a bad night in Dalyman against them. I just think back about when he said the four best midfielders in the league, and I was looking at, like, he was playing in midfield. They're fucking crap. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they brought JJ Looney on. JJ Looney is nowhere near the standard of Premier League anymore.
He'd be a utility player, if that's what you want to call it. Like.
Yeah, I mean, I think Duff will be awfully found out as a spoofer by the end of it. Just on ourselves, you know, as you said, it's a win that's probably been coming. And Longer said himself in his interviews that, you know, this is the performance that we've been waiting for, and thank fucking God we got it.
He said the performances have been there, it's just the results haven't shown.
Yeah.
Due to fucking last minute cock-ups.
But then maybe that comes down to maybe not being a great performance. If you can't perform for 90 minutes, you know, I think it's probably a questionable statement.
It's two goals against Finn Harps at home. It's not a good performance.
Well, never mind the 9 men bit as well. But two players here. Junior's first start, what do you reckon? And I watched his attempted overhead bicycle kick way back.
Should have scored that for start.
Should have just taken control of it and fucking wellied it, you know?
Yeah, no, we should have scored that for start. A question is work rate.
Yeah, I think he might look a small bit off the pace.
I'm not sure if that's his game or if that's a case of that's just the way he is.
Yeah.
I believe he could play a big part in how we play, but I still think Promise is the main man.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely agree with you there.
You can't judge Junior off the back of that game because, you know, that's him getting into the swing of things. He's still got on the score sheet at the end of the day. I just thought his work rate, particularly off the ball, could have been a lot better. I think Promise offers a lot more in that direction.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. What about Liam Burt? Was that just amazing to watch?
Best forward in the league.
Yeah.
I think a mutual friend of ours, Conor McHugh, had made comment on it.
He said he's
a Shells fan. A lap Shells fan from before he passed away.
Conor DM'd me a full time and said, "She's Liam Burt, Ali Coote, and Dawson Devoy, worth the admission fee alone." His first game back in the League of Ireland. I mean, you're watching Liam Burt, and this is a slippery pitch, a greasy pitch.
Everyone's falling over it.
Everyone, and he managed to stay on his feet the whole time. His ball control. You know what? I know this might sound a bit daft, but like in League of Ireland terms, that was like watching the equivalent of Lionel Messi dribble.
Wow, it was outrageous. Even Junior's goal at the end, like, I don't know. Look, I'm fucking. We'll avoid how bad Shells are at the back, but
yeah.
I mean, like, his ability is just deployed by players is second to none in the league. I think he's the best forward in the league. We'll be doing well to hold him at the end of the season.
He could be doing well to hold him by summer. If he keeps playing like that, and he's got a ping.
Put the fucking contract in front of him.
Yeah.
And obviously, can't put a blank one, but
plenty of money in that bank.
There's fucking plenty of money in that bank. We've got a couple of stock guns and enough money over the last. Just fucking give him Bachin Heary's wages on top of the last year.
Give him Rory Feely's wages. Fucking hell.
And JJ McKay. They're all adding back up.
There's loads of money there. I mean, you know, I think there's one thing that, like, Bowes.
Would you pay him $3,000 a week?
I'd pay him $5,000 a week. If he
would you make him the highest paid player in the league?
I would absolutely.
I don't know what Darian in terms of staying or whatever, but
I don't give him any fucking ideas.
I genuinely do think he deserves.
Yeah.
Give him a 2-3 year deal. Put fucking big money on the table. Look, there you go. There's a chance he could go there at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think we had a second year
option. He's not known for loyalties, for fuck's sake. He played for fucking Rangers, that's it.
As long as he's not wearing the other green and white in fucking Dublin, so that wouldn't fucking see
if
that.
He isn't enough then at the fucking decision.
Well, let's talk one more player from that game, Jordan. And he captained us again, was Conor Livingston. And so right foot, left foot, levitating.
But you want me? I want you, baby. We're levitating.
I've got a massively red and black flag.
There is a man sitting in Dublin 15 in Swally Land here at the moment, and I had to listen to him. Last year we went up to Derry from circa 2 a.m. to circa 4 a.m. ramble on about how Conor Levinson should start every week, and his name is Mr. Richardson, and he said he's the Wexford Pirlo.
Yeah, the Gory Pirlo, some are calling him now as well. Yeah. I mean, Levo, look, come here, he played at Wolves as a kid. He went over very young as well. I just thought Levo went over when he's about 15. His brother's playing League of Ireland now as well, Dara, I presume. Dara's with Bray now, he is. So I presume Connor's like, he's back in the team. The last thing he'd want to do is his brother to overtake him in terms of League of Ireland as well. He's definitely stepped up his game. I think he stepped up his work rate. His passing's pretty good. He does the simple things. He wore the armband quite well. You know the first thing he done in that game? He fucking took out a Shells player. Yeah. Got himself an early yellow, but kept it cool for the rest of the game. And you know what? It takes a good head to do that, I think. That's something you'd expect from maybe like Keith Buckley or Jordan Flores to do.
I'm not sure if there's a want to have Keelan to keep Flores happy and bring him back into the squad. I'm not sure how that works. You know, Long is a fucking weird bastard when it comes to squad selection and loyalty to certain players like over the years. But I think Levo should be on the first name on the sheet on Friday, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, definitely. Does he keep the armband?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%.
Levo's as long with the club as anyone now.
He's here since 2009. Exactly. Looks like him and James Finnerty, James Talbot, they all came in together.
Think Talbot should be captain.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet as well, but I think everyone knows, but, you know. I think he's Lula. he actually bought me a coffee. He did it down in Finglas. banging on the car window. I said, "Who the fuck is this?" And he goes, "Coffee." I said, "Oh, fine."
Where is he? A Lickout, actually.
He does a bit look like Lickout. Yeah, it was good to see Lickout back at the match yesterday as well.
Our good friend,
Mr. Liam Hoban himself.
Mr. Liam Hoban himself, who you know has been around Bowles the last while. But if you're listening, Mr. Hoban, was glad to see you back, and hopefully your long road is here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, really a big smile on his face eating the curry chips. But look, come here. I mean, I enjoyed the Bowes Shells rivalry. I wouldn't, you know, it's a derby.
Because you got bullied in school.
I did.
Would you like to tell the listeners about the story when the teacher got called you in?
That wasn't me.
Was it not you?
No, that was what he did. That's what he done to the Shells fans. I went to St. Aidan's. And when I went to school in 2007 or 2006, even Shells were obviously top of the league. The school was riddled with Shells cunts, and it was like 4 or 5 Bowes fans. And says, we got a fucking awful time off them, you know. But then Shells got relegated, and it was fucking hilarious. And they all kind of stopped following them. But my first year in Aidens, we were fucking absolutely put into lockers by these cunts, right? But probably one of the funniest things that happened in St. Aidens was Aidan Lynch used to play centre half for Dundalk, and he was an economics teacher. And he went on the intercom one day, and he called every last like hardcore Shells fan to his office. So he called out, you know, can Stephen Dowdy, can Dwayne Doyle, can Shane Kennedy all come to my office, please? So the 4 of them or 5 of them all march up on a Monday morning, right? And Aidan Lynch had just won the league with Dundalk, and they beat Shells by a couple of points. Literally, proudest punch, takes out the league with the Division 1 trophy, puts it on the table and goes, "What do you think of that, lads?"
That's fucking sad.
So they're all a shower of cunts and Aidens. But, you know, I enjoy the rivalry. And I think a lot of Bowes fans, they kind of do this thing where they kind of ignore Shells. And Shells are actually driving on kind of like some people saying these are relevant. I think they are relevant, absolutely. I don't like ignoring them. I actually enjoy the rivalry with them. But I think a lot of Bowes fans will say they're relevant and then start commenting on their stuff. Like, you either ignore them or you don't. Like, you know? Yeah,
maybe so, but it's a wild thing as well. Yeah. At the end of the day, who's Shell's biggest rivals? Bowes. Who's Pat's biggest rivals? Rovers. Who are Bowes and Rovers? Each other.
Exactly.
Who, when we played Pat's in the Cup Final, there were 3 Dublin teams cheering against us.
Yeah.
Pats, Rovers and Shells all wanted Pats to win.
Yeah.
So that's how relevant they are in terms of overall rivalry, let's be honest.
Yeah. But look, come here, it was great to put 4 past them, and it was absolutely great to see them all limp out at a full time as well. So excellent stuff in that game. But bigger game.
90 minutes of glorifying Jimmy Savile.
There was some fucking rotten chance. You know what? When our team started calling speed falls, we did the right thing. We started saying 2-1 to the pedophiles, 3-1. 4-1, so on and so forth. Get it fucking right up, you shower of cunts. But now the big game on Friday. And I'm not going to be here myself. I'm actually going to be away in London.
You're off to see our father.
Going to see my strange father, yeah.
Going to see our father. Jesus, like, we left, 26 years ago?
I'm 28.
Yeah, why did you leave when you were 1 or 2?
What do you mean he left me? What are you talking about? He didn't leave me at all.
He did?
Oh, shut up, will you? You're some cunt, you know that. if my father is listening to me, don't mind this man, right? But no, I'm away this weekend. I've got to go to Specsavers and pick up my new glasses actually as well. So before I go away, I want to watch on the telly.
We'll post a picture of Jamie's dad just so everyone knows who it is.
And what's the second name?
Pied.
Fuck off.
Jamie Pied. Well, he's got a Panama hat.
He does have a Panama hat. Like Ian Bailey
like
is. I'll tell you what, lads. I'll get a picture of me and my dad wearing a Panama hat, and you'll see, does he look like Ian Bailey, right? I'm off to London, not West Cork, mind you. But Rovers, game on Friday, it's obviously, it's a big sellout. As always, Rovers sellout allocation is going to be a fucking tasty enough one.
Anyone that has a spare Wilson, give us a text.
Yeah, please.
We've got a few hardcore Bulls fans.
And you know what? We only give it to the fucking hardcore. No fucking blow-ins get tickets off us. So we become like a fucking ticket handling service now at the moment.
Yeah,
the money coming in out of our Revolut accounts. We're going to get shut down here.
We're being stung for bleeding tenners at matches. Oh, yeah, fucking there you go.
I'd sort you out, like, you know. But if you are looking to get in touch, we will try help out lads who aren't complete fucking doorknobs. Rovers getting into gear now a little bit. They've only conceded 3 goals in 7 games. But other than a 3-0 win against Harps, they're not hammering sides. They're winning games 1-0, 2-1. You know, they beat us 1-0. It's going to be a tight and cagey game, I reckon. I don't think this is going to be as open with chances. I know it's going to be a nice night in Dublin 7. But I'm not expecting many goals in this game. Would you bite your hand off for a 0-0 or 1-0 with these cunts? Or do we have to go for the jugular here?
Look, you never want to. I think we've offered both teams before the match, particularly when there's not much on the line. But in relevance to the time of year, there's not much on the line. Like, it draws at the end of the world.
Yeah.
Loss isn't in the world. If you win, it's that world again. I think if you probably offer both teams a draw, maybe we take a more than Rovers. But I think by and large, a lot of times, if you said to everyone, nil all, and you share the point, and we don't actually have to play the match, everybody get.
Yeah, exactly.
Save us all the hassle.
The 90 minutes go away, go back to the pub, they know. But I remember we were chatting last time when we were with Stephen Caffrey, and so we had mentioned that a couple of Bowers fans had said that the away game against Tala was a free shot. That's sort of attitude. It's like, there's no such thing as a free shot against Rovers.
That's attitude from fucking 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a case of, well, as I said, like, in the grand scheme of things, if we lose, it's not going to make a massive difference to come the end of the season. But it's not a case of, well, if we're going out for a free shot, like, that doesn't exist anymore. That's fucking mad. That's
2012 actually, 2013 actually. Yeah, we're saying, like, our budget's 100 grand and theirs is fucking 2 million. Like, you know, we're not supposed to win. I know Rovers' budget is big.
Bohemian FC should always have a demanding expectation.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, we've had those few years where it wasn't there, the budget's there, our main prospect was survival. That's over. Fans need to get that into their head. I know a lot of people, I know Jamie Connors had said, our first ever guest is at the club, players have been getting an easy ride in terms of performances and results off the fans, which may be true as well. But at the same time, like, demanding expectations there. You fucking deal with it. Like, it's Bowers at the end of the day. It's a massive club. I know, and Long, I think, he's starting to understand that now. Like, he's been on the end of the relegations where you stay up, you know, that's the expectation. This is a different expectation now. It's like, it's not just about surviving, it's about fucking getting up there and competing.
I've been kind of listening to the news all day, and they're talking about this United game. And all United are, I think they're still, we're actually recording this journey, and everyone is just like, they're expecting to go there and lose. No club in a derby rivalry, doesn't matter how big or small you are, you do not go into a game and expect to lose.
Particularly, is right, damage imitation league.
Absolutely.
Like, United are going out with damage imitation prospects. Don't get me wrong, they'd be winning there. We don't fucking know. But no, like, fucking, you don't go in saying that defeat is fine. Like, never.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and there is some Bowers fans that kind of have that. But look, surely we get something on Friday. Hopefully, is there any changes? Does Chris Twardek play? If Malin's fit, does Twardek play?
Look, Twardek, I think, is a bit sussed out.
Yeah, he's a good game there.
Good game is
goal. Well, he's a new trick. The inside chop.
Toronto chop. Toronto chop. Yeah. That came in well. Coote was brilliant as well.
Yeah, Coote was brilliant. Coote spends a lot of his games getting fucking kicked around.
Coote was probably my favourite ball player at the moment.
Yeah.
In terms of his creation is brilliant.
Can I ask you something?
What?
Do you love him?
Do you love her, bro? Well, a lot of people won't understand that, but
for those that do.
I do, actually, yeah. Very
much so. Well, actually, I was only clearing out my fucking, my work PC, and I was looking through all the stuff. I had like CV, Glenn Lyons, Colin Darcy, Cormac Darcy, Ali Coote's CV. What was I doing with that?
I think I sent it on to you.
Yeah, I remember fucking out jimmying around this fucking CV.
Yeah, you and you were trying to fix up a CV from last year.
I was trying to get an professional footballer job in a bank. Yeah, the fucking lies that were on
Yeah, true as well. Bodges involved in the lies. But I remember Scott Allardyce actually told me, he said, oh, Ali's looking for a job, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So go try to get him in the bank. It was COVID here, so it was fucking, like, there was jobs that were leading to a penny. Yeah, so there wasn't too many jobs around, but remember he goes, is he smart? Grand, I get him, I can only give a fuck if he's no use for him at that point. Boy in there, sure. And he goes, is that a fucking scientist?
What about this Rovers team on Friday? Look, we all know Jack Bourne is back. He's not really made a massive impact. Yeah, he's not been
very well the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, some of his pass through night was absolutely brilliant. He gave it to him.
I don't know how they're going to start because they've got so many good options.
They got five at the back again because that was so fucking. Like, we didn't know how to deal with it. I mean, I'd like to think Keith Long might have a different game plan if they're going five at the back this time. You know,
he said, would you drop Twardock? I don't think he's going to drop Twardock because I think Twardock gives you work rate.
Yeah,
that's Stephen Mann.
Especially if he's playing with Max Murphy behind him. And Max Murphy's very small and slight. I know he's probably.
Yeah,
he's going to have a point to prove. I know, you know, I said
I don't think Max Murphy is much of a footballer, but he gets stuck in.
Yeah,
and
he's going to have a point to prove on Friday. Yeah, he gets his own club,
but as well as that, getting stuck in can sort of be enough sometimes if you're not making fuck ups like Feely. Like,
yeah, as I said, we probably have Max Murphy ahead of Feely every day at this stage, the way he's playing,
it's the way as it stands. Yeah,
this Rovers team, obviously former Bowes man, current cunt Danny Mandro. He's had a bit of a turbulent time the last while.
Yeah,
but it sounds
things. Obviously, he wasn't showing up at training a few weeks ago, but he seems to have gotten back on the score.
I heard something outside 22's nightclub as well. I'll be going into it though, you know yourself. But, you know, I think if we can take him out of the game most nearly, and you know what? The Daily Mount, you know, we really need a second man, a 12th man on Friday. Hopefully there's an atmosphere down in F&G. I know Section A be closed. I don't know how that happened. But
Section A be Section B, most of them. Yeah,
but
Section W here.
But I think the fans need to get on their back because it worked in Sligo. We went out there. We took on Bulger much as anyone else.
Fucking McCart turned around and gave us the fingers, and the ref wasn't looking like.
So the fans have to really get on Danny Mandro's back.
Vicious abuse.
They've got to get absolutely.
You can fucking tell people they can't say this, that, and you're right.
I think it's full. It's fucking fair game with him. Obviously, every element.
I know a few bands went down for that cup game last year.
Yeah, I heard about that.
For a lot of that happened. That wins games. There was only 1,000 fans there, and it was fucking vulgar and vicious.
And some of those lads that got banned, you know, their only crime was passion.
good club men too. Good club yes men, some of them as well.
Won't be naming names. I heard he's got glasses on.
Sorry, you McSherry.
Look. We have to get on their back, and I think get F&G going. I think anyone that is going into the game, as I said, I won't be there myself. Get in early, get a spot in F&G. Make sure some little fucking nerd or prick doesn't get it. Get in there and fucking just this once. Maybe don't have that last point. Get in there for fucking 7 o'clock, 7:15. I know it's a big ask for people, you know, but maybe that is something that has to happen this time.
Yeah, but you can't get fucking that many people to do it, Jay, to be honest. There's people in there since before 7 o'clock. I think it's gonna be a mix up. I think it's good having people down in Block A.
Yeah.
When it comes to fucking abusing, like, as well, like, that Block A can be very good.
Dave Webster got an awful send-off.
Jesus, there's a lot of people wrong.
He'd done a serious injury, but everyone was delighted to see, and I'm delighted to see Dave Webster being carried off on a stretcher.
He gave us some stick last year in Finn Harps as well.
He's a cunt, he is. He's a good, you know what, the type of player you might want for the team, you know. Yeah, if he was a bit better, yeah, but look, that was kind of good to see as well, you know. And obviously, look, we don't wish you a speedy recovery here at One Up Top.
No, not the spat we had him last year. Multiple spats at multiple League of Ireland players.
So what do you reckon now, Friday? Scoreline, if you were to put that on it.
It's never going to be any allowed because we are incapable. I think we've kept one clean sheet in about 22 games now.
It's 22. Sligo was the only clean sheet.
No, we conceded
Sligo. Oh, hey. That was 1-0.
Was it?
Yeah, 1-0.
Yeah, I think that might be one of your
fucking clean sheets. Sober as well.
Pats, we can't keep clean sheet against Pats.
Clean sheet against Pats,
yeah. The two. That's something
20
games or something mad like that.
Who scores for Bowes if we do score? I'd say everyone. I know we're all putting money on Grant Horton every game now. I think everyone's probably going to be lumping on Liam Burt anytime here.
Liam Burt anytime, maybe. Centre half's always gone these games. These are fucking set piece games, and we're not good at set pieces. I think it's hard to call it. I'm going to say 2-1 Bows.
I'm going to say 2-1. I'm a bit bullish now. I think, you know, coming in off the back of that 4-1, I can see if we want to get momentum going, this is the perfect game to keep it up. And if we can beat Rovers, I think we can really push on from here now. I think if we can get a serious result now.
UCD the week after, we'll have something for you next week with a guest. But no, we fucking need to go to Rovers. Don't let them take the piss.
Yeah, don't let them take the piss. Yeah, don't let them pass around. Don't let them frustrate us. Because if, first of all, as you said, we just alluded to it there, but if they play five at the back, we want to have a fucking solution for that this time. If not,
they might play five at the back. Yeah. That's our game. But no, I think we should go out there and look to win.
Yeah,
always go out to win. Always. Fuck them.
Failure is not an option.
Failure, defeat is not an option. No, we just do have one. We did have a legal problem there last week on the last podcast, which is one of the reasons why I know a lot of people were onto us. But we were doing something with Bowles too, so we had to come out and make an apology, which we didn't really want to do, but we supposed to sat down and we're talking to a solicitor, so we have to do it. Barry Comerford said that Larson never bet me in the ping pong. He said I bet him. He did him in the Leinster. I did. And he asked me to make a call. You were looking at me going, what the fuck is that happening with you?
I can't remember saying that that bad.
But he had said he bet Larson and they won the Leinster that year. He said I was ranked number 13th at the time in the ping pong championships. Apologies, Barry.
Just on Barry Comerford as well, what colour jacket does he wear this Friday?
Jesus, what did back last time?
He was wearing grey.
I think he's gonna wear yellow.
I think he might wear yellow. Or, you know, I'm gonna go with orange, you go with yellow. And the winner goes for a point.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
We've done a virtual handshake here, right?
He won't play a point, the miserable
guy. Fuck off, would you? So anyways, look folks, we will leave it at that. As I said, look, it was just a bit of an update and it was good to get a couple of good to have a bit of chat and look.
Just listen to ourselves talking.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, two self-righteous bastards, honestly. Do smash into the page if you like what you hear. We might start doing a couple of shout outs of some of the worst messages we get from some of the worst people.
Yeah, and
leave it.
That's it.
Come on the fucking ball.
Come on the fucking ball.
Let's fucking do it.
Cause we all follow Bowles wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the Bowies and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we sing it again.